Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday hump day, September 15th, 2021. We'll talk to Mike Boddicker in studio coming up in about 45 minutes. Get your forecast from Gary Lezak. College football insider Gary Barnett will be on the show at 8:05. We'll talk to Mike DePasquale at 8:45. Nick Lecky, former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the Saints, will be on the show at 9:05. And then Kim Palmer from the American Royal will give us the lowdown on the showdown. I don't know if it's a showdown. What's a showdown? For barbecue grilling championship rights. I don't know. Sure. It works. So we'll talk to Kim Palmer at 9:35 and find out what you need to know about the American Royal. Well, tell you what, the Royals know how to steal some attention back from the Kansas City Chiefs. Tell you that. They had a hell of a game last night. Salvador Perez hit a three-run home run and a wild comeback to beat the Oakland A's. But that, hey, that's fine. That's good. We might have talked about that for a segment or two with Mike Boddicker as the Royals win 10-7. And Salvi hits home run number 43. 43 home runs for Salvador Perez. And that is the main reason to keep watching the Kansas City Royals on the field as he hits home run number 43. And damn, Salvi now has 109 ribbies on the season. And so, and look, Kyle Isbell comes up and he's been swinging a hot bat. He went 3-for-4 last night, hit a home run. And hopefully he's carving out a role for himself on this team next year. Nicky Lopez continued his hot hitting. He was 3-for-5. Last night, Whit Merrifield went 3-for-5. It's a good offensive night for several of the Royal stars. Mondesi had a steal. Nicky Lopez stole another base. And the Royals came all the way back. I mean, they were down 6-0 going into the bottom of the third. And Salvi hit that dramatic three-run home run in the sixth. That helps them come all the way back to win the game 10-7. But, of course, the press conference yesterday with John Sherman and Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo announcing that Dayton Moore is now going to be the president of the team. And J.J. Piccolo, of course, if you've listened to the show, he's been a regular guest and he's come on pretty much every week during the last couple of seasons. And hopefully you've gotten to know him a little bit through his appearances on the Border Patrol, because now he is the GM, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. And this is a business model. This is a structure that has been used, that is being used by many other baseball teams. And so now it's time for the Royals as they continue to evolve and do what's best for the entire organization, as they said yesterday. Dayton Moore will now serve as the team's president of baseball operations, which is a new role in the organization. And J.J. Piccolo, currently overseeing player personnel, promoted to general manager. But I think one, and look, it's great for J.J. I've expected him to get hired by another team as a general manager. Honestly, I mean, I'm surprised that he hasn't been, and so I'm excited that the Royals are able to keep him by giving him this promotion to Senior Vice President of Baseball Operations and General Manager, and to slide into that role as Dayton Moore also gets a promotion. But I think one of the main takeaways is Dayton Moore still gets final say. He's the tiebreaker. And so I don't. So if there's if there's a split between about a decision about a player or about something they want to do, he's the final say. I mean, but I wonder, like, can JJ make a trade? Does Dayton Moore get final say on the roster? Does Dayton Moore get final say on free agents? I'm curious to see how this works out. I'll be honest with you. I'd like it to be JJ Piccolo. I think that we could. I think that they could use a fresh voice in making some personnel decisions. But it sounds like, and it's great for JJ. It's a great thing to have him promoted to GM. But it sounds like Dayton still, at the end of the day, calls the shots. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it is a little tough to know for sure. And it sounds like they're not exactly sure how all those things are going to work out. Reading some of the quotes, listening to the press conference yesterday, it sounds like that might be something that they have to feel out a little bit. But, I mean, he did say he's got final say still. I wonder how many things make it to his desk, like you said. Does that mean, because basically, clearly, JJ is going to be running the day-to-day operations, so what color stationery are we using probably isn't going to make it to Dayton Moore's desk, right? Now, like you said, does a minor league trade make it to his desk? Does every trade make it to his desk? What things does JJ have to run by Dayton Moore before he pulls the trigger on?
Andy Rogers wrote, to be clear, Moore will still have the final say on organizational changes like trades and signings.
Yeah.
So that'll answer that question. But he's going to take more time to rove the minor leagues, spend time with scouts, and focus on the culture of the organization. So,
I feel like, though, just knowing the two guys and the relationship they've had for a long time, I feel like I don't see Dayton Moore vetoing a lot of things that JJ wants to do. I think as long as JJ comes to him and reasons out, hey, this is what we want to do, and here's why, I feel like he's going to have a president in Dayton Moore that's going to go, okay, let's do it.
They worked very well together. I mean, JJ Piccolo and Dayton Moore have been together with the Royals for a long time. JJ came over here from the Atlanta Braves, and so yeah, they should be able to work very well together, and there shouldn't be too many discrepancies as far as what they want to do. So, but it's interesting that, and so I was interested by this. This press conference was supposed to be about Dayton Moore and JJ Piccolo being promoted, and predominantly that's what they talked about yesterday. Save for about 5 minutes or so when John Sherman addressed the future of the Royals and where they're going to play and the possibility of having a downtown stadium. And to be honest with you, that's all anyone talked about. That stole the entire spotlight. And I don't know if that's what they intended. I don't know if that... Look, I don't know. That's what happened. Nobody, as far as like people around me or people texting me or asking me questions or wanting to talk about something, I feel like nobody really talked too much about Dayton Moore and JJ Piccolo. And so if that was not their intention, that's unfortunate, because that's what happened. This has been completely overshadowed, to me it has, by the talk of a possible stadium downtown. It was weird that they kind of, you know, and John Sherman said, look, it's hard not to go public with this because that's what everyone asks me everywhere I go. They ask me about a downtown stadium more than they ask me about when Bobby Witt Jr. is going to get called up. And so he felt like he had to address it. But it stole the show. That's all anyone talked about after that, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe that's the way they wanted it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was intended or not.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, I can't imagine it bothers JJ, because I don't think he's always wanted this job, not for the...
No, but you want a guy to have his moment in the spotlight.
His son, yeah. Yeah. So you're right, though. That's all anybody that I talked to afterwards was like, hey, what about this downtown stadium?
I don't think I... I don't know what you guys think about that.
The downtown stadium?
I don't have a firm grasp on what your reaction to this is. Because I've seen so many people all across the board that love it, that love the idea, that hate it, that hate the idea, that are on the fence, and really don't have a strong position either way. So what's your reaction to this?
I don't know how I feel.
There it is, Kansas City.
Because
this is why you come here, for strong opinions.
I have some very strong opinions that are conflicting on this. The first thing I would say is, my first reaction is, well, I've seen my team win a couple World Series and have some significant moments in that building. Now, I know, like, the clinching game of the last World Series was not here, but Alex Gordon's home run was here. You know, there's been so much history there. There have been so many memories formed there. There have been so many special things happened there that the idea of tearing that down hurts me. I've been to the new Yankee Stadium that they built right next to the old Yankee Stadium, and I think it sucks. I think it's empty. I think it's hollow. I think there's no history there. I think in the old Yankee Stadium, it wasn't nearly as nice and didn't have nearly as many amenities and didn't make nearly as much money. But, man, that's where history happened all over the place. When you walk in the building, you can feel the ghosts. And I know that this isn't Yankee Stadium, but this is one of the oldest, most history-rich stadiums in all of baseball now, if you think about it in those terms. And that hurts me. The idea of just tearing that down and walking away from it and never setting foot in that building again hurts me. On the flip side, downtown baseball, I think, is awesome. I love what's happened with our downtown over the past 15 years or so. And the idea of having 81 dates where it's buzzing even more and more vibrant and showcases all to the rest of the country all of the great things we have going on downtown, that sounds great to me. That sounds awesome. And maybe the chance to bring back another All-Star game and things like that. That sounds awesome to me. So I guess I have some serious mixed emotions.
That clears that up. Jake, what about you?
Initially, I think I was against it, but the more I kind of let the thought marinate and the idea of it. Well, when Twitter was blown up yesterday.
So today you were against it until yesterday, and then you started to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was full against it, but I was okay with how things are now. I'm okay with. I love the K. I love going out to the K. I think it's a special place. I know
it's convenient for you.
Absolutely.
You enjoy the wide open parking lot. You like to get in and get out. Afterwards, you like to jump over to Denny's for a quick
a little bite over there. go
Grand Slam or
go hang out at with Isle
Moons Keys over Miami or you know.
The swimming park or whatever.
Right, head over to Taco Bell and get yourself a...
Yes, the gas station. I've hung out at that gas station many of times on the curb.
Right.
Those are facts.
Hey, that's history. That's tradition. Those are memories.
Go get some chicken over at S.A. Sanders.
Kind of memories.
No, they closed
well,
30 years ago.
I have faith that they have several giant engineering firms that build the best stadiums in the world that are located here in Kansas City. So for one of those... Those bids on that stadium will be state of the art. They will do it right. So I have faith that that'll happen. And, I think a change sometimes is good. I think I wouldn't miss the K, but I think the thought of having a downtown ballpark, I mean, look, the reality is right now I've only been out to four games this year. So, all great times. But a new experience is, so I'm always looking for a new
experience. Would go to more games if there was a downtown ballpark that was inviting you to come, like you said, and have a new experience and do something fun.
Absolutely. I feel like I would be drawn down there more often. But,
that's... Like the siren calling you if you were a sailor out at sea.
Not that,
with
that
her,
she hasn't before.
Right, a hauntingly beautiful song to you.
But
you'd
see
be
Nate's
lured
point.
Downtown.
I see Nate's point. The history of it all and the moments that were made. Alex Gordon's home run. I'll never forget being in that stadium with my brother. I'll never that the best live event I've ever been to in my life of not just sports, any event that
Missouri,
I've heard.
Missouri-Kansas football game 2007 in
Arrowhead. I did see someone get tagged in the head from about 45 yards out.
I know, you bring that up a lot. Right.
But no, the AL 2014 AL wildcard, that is by far, and there's nothing that's been close to touching
really?
That.
Really?
Yes. That is the most...
it's a strong statement from you.
It's the most exciting event I've ever seen live with my own eyes.
About the Jag White concert.
Is
it in the general area?
Well, I think if I would have seen 100% of it, right. Maybe. But I saw probably.
You woke up for the encore, though.
I did. That was the best encore I've ever seen.
That's exactly right. That was very good.
But, you know, tossing Phil around with Antony and just those moments, you know, I'll always cherish those. But, hey, I think making new memories is a great idea, too.
You know, can I tell you something?
Tell me something.
Nothing's going to happen to those memories.
No.
You get to keep them.
Moustakas making the catch in the dugout, right. That is not a memory I'll remember.
You've had to generate, had to fabricate that memory.
Yes. It's kind of a blurry one.
And look, I'm as what's the word here?
Sentimental?
I'm sentimental. I'm emotional about this stuff. I grew up going to the ballpark out of Kauffman Stadium. I mean, I think about doing that with my grandfather, with my Uncle Richie.
Absolutely.
When he was already battling ALS, and those were one of the few places that we could actually take him that would accommodate him, and he would be able to have fun and go out there. Thinking about my mom being at Game 6 of the World Series in 1985 with my mother, the memories you just talked about, all those things.
Yeah.
But I can't, there's nothing like... There's no, you know, if they build a downtown stadium, they're not going to give me the Men in Black treatment and flash something in my eyes and I lose all those memories.
Right.
I get it. But that's a very selfish way of looking at it. Because it's not what's best for the city. Right? It's a very selfish way of looking at it. That's what's, it's sentimental and everything else. But those memories, they last forever. And there was a time when I like the parking, I like this, I like that, but I've seen how great downtown baseball is and a downtown stadium is in so many other cities, and I've seen, and it's probably maybe a little different for me because like Northeast is connected to downtown, and that's kind of, you know, Columbus Park, downtown, Northeast, all of it. That's where I grew up, and that's my neighborhood. That's where I have a strong emotional tie to. And I would, it's been frustrating to see so many things, you know, go out to KCK or go out to Overland Park or go, bring something to KCMO, bring something home, bring something to the heart of the city, bring something downtown. Downtown is so, think about how fantastic downtown is now compared to 20 years ago.
Compared to
10 years ago.
Not even close.
Nope. Compared to whatever. Caesar, my man in St. Louis, tells me all the time, he says, Kansas City downtown is surpassing St. Louis as far as things to do. And it's probably that he's had enough of St. Louis, he lives there now, but come here and you see, it's, right? It's a totally different thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to hear those things differently, but those things like about Kemper Arena, oh, there's so many memories of Kemper Arena, and that line of thinking would have kept us down in the West Bottoms of Kemper Arena. And that's fine. Hy-Vee Arena is a great place and do a lot of things there, but T-Mobile Center is way better, right? That setup's way better. And I used to hear people talk about, oh, you don't do that. And everyone's it's always, where are we going to park? You'll find a place to park. There's a lot of parking downtown, trust me. It may not be this wide open space where you can tailgate and do, you know, we've been spoiled. The Arrowhead's going to stay there, so you'll be able to tailgate and everything else. And trust me, I'm as sentimental or more sentimental as the next guy. But I also realize that's up, that's being selfish. We're not talking about what's best for me and what's best for my memories and selfishly wanting to keep Kauffman Stadium there because I went there as a kid. It's awesome. But no one can take those memories away. I'm talking about what's best for the city and what's best for moving forward, what's best for our kids, what's best for Kansas City to be everything that it can be, to be the wonderful city that we believe it is, right, and to continue to grow. And the best thing is to have downtown baseball. And I hope that I get to go to a baseball game in a downtown stadium at some point in my life. Like, I don't know what the timing is. I don't know when it'll be here. I hope I'm around to see it. And I hope my kids and my grandkids and spend years and years with a chance to go there and have those opportunities. And I'm sure they'll, hey, back when the stadium was back over there, we did this and went to the 2014 wild card game, and Phil will tell his kids about Uncle Jake throwing him up in the air and shaking him violently after the game, and Tim Grenhardt almost broke my dad's back, yanking him out of a car. All those memories are still, they're still there for us. Will it be sad to see Kauffman Stadium go? Sure it will be. A lot of things are sad that we have to say goodbye to, but it's progress. And it's not about what's best for us, the individual. It's about what's best for the city moving forward. And I love it. And I hope it happens. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Maybe something I can say to make it resonate with you, Nate. Do you feel a sense of pride when you go out to a sporting game and the stadium's there in KCK?
Oh, of course.
Does that mean something to you?
Of course, yeah.
A lot of people, it would mean that to us if the stadium was downtown.
Look,
in a place that we feel like that's part of us. That's our home, where we grew up.
Sure.
And so it would, and again, that's getting to the emotional ties and being sentimental. But I do feel that. I do think that, and I would love it. And I had, trust me, and I love Kauffman Stadium. It's such a beautiful place that I have so many wonderful memories there. But again, it's not about me and my sentimentality. It's about what's best for this city and what's best for this organization moving forward. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think you convinced me. Like, I was on the fence or whatever.
Now I'm going to flip.
But I will say, like, it hurts me a little bit to hear you, like, basically say I'm being selfish about it, because that I don't think I articulated my point
right
away.
I'm being selfish. Anyway, it's a selfish notion to say, well, I don't like it for me.
Well, I'm not, and that's not what I meant, I guess. Here's where I'm torn. What you said about Sprint Center, spot on. It ignited a revitalization of downtown that's been awesome and it was always for.
And there were people that fought that
100%,
kicking and screaming.
100%. I would say this, though. Like, you want to tear down Allen Fieldhouse? I would kick and scream 1,000 times louder.
You're asking the wrong guy, buddy.
I know.
You're asking the wrong guy. You almost got the answer you don't want to hear.
I know. But
never.
That right, Jake?
Yeah, those are fighting words.
Because there's like there's this balance somewhere between like having your history being, it strengthens your organization. Like when you have a sense of history and all that stuff, it strengthens your organization. Now maybe the Royals, maybe Kauffman Stadium isn't at that hallowed ground. Like to me, if they ever tore down Fenway Park, it would be a freaking crime. You know, but maybe Kauffman Stadium doesn't reach that level. Maybe Kauffman Stadium's really nice and has good history, but it's not at that level that it's an icon that needs to never be touched. So, you know, that's where I was coming from. Not that like, oh, it's just poor me that they're tearing it down. It's like, not like poor our kids. They're not gonna get to go to the stadium where all those amazing things happen and listen to their parents talk about where all those things happen
or,
and see it.
Hooray for our kids. They're gonna get to go to a beautiful downtown stadium that was like Jake said, designed by some of the top people in the world that are based here in Kansas City, that would absolutely knock it out of the park. What do you think they're going to do for a stadium in their hometown? It will be incredible.
I mean, look, I like I said, I agree. At the end of the day, I think you're right. I mean, it's better for the city. Now, I'd say this: they ought to put it in downtown Kansas City, Kansas. Because then it would overlook downtown Kansas City, Missouri. It'd be the perfect spot. You know, that would be my case.
Right.
But you know, that's probably a pipe dream. So.
But you see what I'm saying, though? It's just like a difference of perspective. Like you say, oh, you know, our poor kids or feel bad for your kids. And I think, well, this would be awesome for our
kids.
It'd be awesome for...
You're right.
Because that's...
can't have your cake and eat it too.
Right. I think you'll be far more interested in going to a state-of-the-art, beautiful stadium in downtown where you can actually walk and go do something before and afterwards and make it. That's, you know.
Yeah. No, look, I love going downtown. I lived downtown before downtown was cool. Like, my buddy Ruben and I had an apartment in the City Market back in 2000 before they ever built Sprint Center. And I remember my brother-in-law was working for the construction firm that built the Power and Light District. And I remember the first Big 12 tournament down there, looking at the crowd of people in the Power and Light District and the city skyline all around us. And I remember looking at him thinking, man, can you believe this is our hometown?
So then why don't you want downtown to continue to thrive?
I do. I told you, I'm on your side. You convinced me.
I don't want to convince you. This time, also, giving your
there's a lot of things that have to happen for this to come to fruition.
Right,
and
right.
So, you know,
Kansas City, Missouri is not exactly easy to work with when it comes to these things, too.
Right.
So there's going to be.
Can I tell you? And I will tell you this with firsthand knowledge. There are a lot of things that have been happening.
Yeah,
we
sure.
just don't know it.
Right,
that's why they announced it. Right,
right. I don't want to hear anyone say, "Hey, let's get the ball rolling." The ball, has been rolling.
Absolutely. And you started hearing whispers of that, like when John Sherman bought the team, right?
Yes.
Like immediately, I was hearing from people.
That's the man that can make it happen, JP.
Right. No, and I agree. And look, I was just my point being is that we're in a great situation right now because we have an awesome ballpark right now to enjoy. And if we get a downtown ballpark, I'm all for it. I think it'll be amazing. But the reality is, it's more likely going to happen than not. But I'm not going to be crushed if it doesn't. I'll be disappointed, yes. But we'll still have that awesome ballpark to enjoy. It would be an upgrade, in my opinion, to move it downtown. Yes, I do think so.
I guess you look at it that way, you can't really lose, right?
Right.
You have a great stadium already and a chance to make it even way better.
There you go.
You know, that's a good way to look at it.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. And, I mean, I think that whole corridor, I know there's been all kinds of talk about trying to revamp the corridor of I-70 that goes on the north side of Kansas City, Missouri, and maybe, I don't know where they would put it, maybe that's an area where they could do a lot of things. But there's so much more going on downtown than there was 20 years ago. It's not even
unbelievable.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's really cool. And it's funny.
It's a good vibe.
I got so many buddies that live in different cities now, and I always talk to them about, like, you guys don't understand how cool downtown Kansas City is now. Just Kansas City in general. And
there's so
much
more
better.
That can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more potential.
You know, absolutely. There's so much more potential.
That will happen. There's so much more that will happen. I mean, this city is one of the, you know, it's thriving right now. And we get to witness it all. And that's an awesome, really, really cool thing for us to see in our hometown.
And again, it's not just you. It's just a point where it feels like everyone's main argument is the sentimentality of Kauffman Stadium, which I've gone through that too.
Yeah.
I fought that too. But at the end of the day, now give me a real argument as to why it's not better for the city.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just the thing about it is, like, sentimentality matters in sports because that's, like, we care so much. You know, like, that's, like, it's not like you're just going to a show to watch a movie and then leave that you're emotionally unattached to. Like, you have these emotional attachments to the team and to the city and all that. And I guess that's why it pulls. But, again, it doesn't overweigh the possibilities that exist downtown. I understand that. I understand that. It does.
It would be awesome, man. Can you, I mean, I know you'd be disappointed, but can you imagine how excited you'd be if, I mean, to be able to go downtown and have that, and this is Kansas City, and what it could do for this town moving forward?
Just think about First Fridays down there, man.
What's that?
I said, just think about First Fridays down there. I mean, that place, I mean,
awesome.
It's already
awesome.
Cranking, and then you throw that in the mix.
Hey. This is the guy. You put him up in front of people to try to convince him and say, "Hey, look, it's already cranking."
It is, man. It is.
What if John Sherman would have said that? You say, "Hey, look, we want to go downtown because it's already cranking."
I would have got it. Yes, sir.
Thank you, John Sherman.
That's my owner.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, man. Don't get it twisted. I love Kauffman Stadium. I could sit there and look around that stadium and think about so many wonderful, fabulous memories, but those stay with me. But, man, I'm tired of being a stick in the mud, and I feel like I've resisted change a lot. Let's go, man. Downtown baseball.
Plus, think about, I mean,
to make the city even
that
better.
Space, what they'll be able to do for the Chiefs, like, you know.
I'll tell you about that. I mean, no, I won't. Yeah, well, good.
Well, I mean, you know, the Chiefs are coming next. They're either going to look for a new stadium or like a complete overhaul of Arrowhead.
Yeah, I don't think one of those two things. Oh yeah.
Oh, I think the Chiefs can move. Absolutely. You don't think the Chiefs can move? Of course, they could.
No, I mean, I think they're going to own that complex.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
and that's going to be that's a whole nother.
Get a rolling roof, maybe.
That's a whole nother discussion. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Later on, we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. Our college football insider Gary Barnett will join us. Mike DePasquale will be on the show at 8:45. Former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the Saints, Nick Lecky at 9:05, and then Kim Palmer will tell us about the American Royal at 9:35, but right now we have Mike Boddicker in studio. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
Downtown baseball?
Downtown baseball,
let's go,
brother.
Let's go!
Yes, me and you.
Sure. Like the wild card game?
You know what? You hit it on the head. You're never going to lose the memories. Remember sitting there? You were panicking.
Well, yes.
Were you panicking?
Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to bring you down off that ledge, brother.
It was early in the game, and things were not going well
come
at that
on,
point.
Steve.
It was. I was very upset.
I wasn't worried at all.
Oh, you ran Corey out of there.
I believe that was
sat by me for two innings.
wasn't that when they put Ventura in out of the bullpen and I started melting down and he said they're going to win. And then I went, I needed something to settle my stomach and I got soft tacos there. I don't know where and they were so good. And that settled me.
They're rally tacos, right? Baby.
Yeah. And then they won. And so. Yeah. Mike Boddicker, first of all, who have you brought with you?
I brought my daughters, the better part of
Introduce them for the people that are...
My daughter Stephanie, my daughter Brittany, and they're part of the foundation. They've done a lot of work on this raffle we got coming up. And
we know you haven't.
I have not done a bloody thing, Jake. Not a thing.
I like how your daughters are nodding. Yep, that's right.
Well, they know. They know.
So, and what have you brought in studio today?
Come
on up here. Let's come on and say hello to us.
Show this
Stephanie, one. Grab the microphone. The show is yours right now.
Go ahead. Awesome.
Brittany, whoever wants to talk, let's have it. Ooh,
okay.
I see Mahomes right there, by the way.
We've got a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Where am I?
Just show it to Nate. That's all that matters.
Should I wear it?
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's a Patrick Mahomes jersey there.
Signed Mahomes jersey. This is kind
of
cool.
Oh.
That's the old 85 Brett.
Let me tell you something now. This is a powder blue George Brett jersey autographed on the number 5. Turn that around.
That's the greatest jersey in the history of this city.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Look at that.
Number 5.
They should wear that all the time. It's ridiculous that they don't.
Why don't they? Mike Boddicker, can you get something done about that?
I love powder blue.
I want
the one with the Royals across the chest.
You know what? I might even wear one of my old powder blues in one day.
Oh, man.
I love it.
I have it at home.
How much would it cost me to buy one of your old powder blues?
Wow. Yeah. You know what?
Make him an offer. For the charity, make him an offer, man.
I'll make you an offer. What, $100?
That's a terrible offer.
You know, James had my son James.
Make him an indecent proposal. And so we have the George Brett autographed jersey.
Right.
Patrick, that was autographed, right? The Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
And Mike didn't sign that out in the parking lot, did he? That was actually Patrick Mahomes who signed that. Okay, I'm just making sure. Okay, what's that baseball bat looks like you hit me with?
The baseball bat is really, really unique because it's signed by Salvi. He used it.
But
it's Alex Gordon's bat.
Can I hold it?
And that's pretty common. With baseball players, and I was telling my wife, she goes,
and that's been kissed by me.
How come he used Alex Gordon's bat? I says, in the World Series, I used Terry Crowley's bat.
How'd that work?
Because I had my own bats. They gave me my own bats, but it didn't feel right.
Okay.
And sometimes a bat feels different. And you grab somebody else's bat and go, oh man, that feels good. Can I use one?
Don't act like you don't want to hold Alex Gordon's bat. Come in here.
So Salvi broke that bat.
So Salvi used it.
I just want to hold it.
And he signed it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Old Hickory. Yeah.
Those are the two Royals Hall of Famers there then. Alex Gordon's bat and Salvi used it.
That makes it even better.
Yep.
And signed it.
And the last thing we brought in, this heavy thing is the booze basket.
Oh, man.
And it's got a lot of different things in there. It's got tasting for up to 10 guests.
Bucati will bid on that.
Or me.
Right.
Yeah. Pat, get it? See, 10 guests.
Make an offer for that.
We have a Tomstown bottle here, and it's signed by Bobby Bell and our good friend, Tim Grunhart.
Wow.
Grunny signed it. So
don't let that affect the value.
Yeah, right. That's a Chiefs Hall of Famer now.
That's yeah, he's a Chiefs Hall of Famer.
So we've got all these things, and so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you all the details on how you could possibly win any one of these wonderful items.
Tell you what, I wanted to bring in the Super Bowl smoker. It is the neatest thing. A little too heavy to get up. I really didn't want
to. When he was up in that cabin, he was a Super Bowl smoker.
Yeah.
That's funny. Look out.
He doesn't remember. Yeah. It was funny. Casey, we'll take a break, though.
Casey Grilling tightened
me up. You better believe it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Or you can go to BoddickerFoundation.org and find out more about the 2021 Fall Charity Raffle that takes place. The winners will be announced September 22nd. And so tell people what they need to know about this charity raffle with all proceeds supporting Children's Mercy through the Oncology Support Fund. And so if people are wondering, how could I possibly win one of these items and many others that we're talking about? What are the details,
please? $5. All you need to do is go to the BoddickerFoundation.org, and $5 will get you a ticket. You can allocate them to anywhere. There is a link that says buy tickets now. It'll take you to a Square Up page where you get to choose where your tickets go. There are a lot of great things there. All of the money coming from those tickets will go towards the Oncology Support Fund through Children's Mercy. So we don't want any families who are traveling into the Kansas City area to worry about hotels, flights, things that they can't put off cost-wise while their kids are sick.
And so tell me the process. So you buy the raffle tickets, and then you could pick which item you're trying to win, right?
Correct. Once you go to that page, there will be all of the items there. You put however many tickets you want per item. It'll give you a total at the end. And then on the 22nd of this month, you go to our live feed that will be there on BoddickerFoundation.org, and you get to watch it all go down.
All the boys are going to be there.
Yes.
So I could put a bunch of, like, all my tickets in the Patrick Mahomes jersey.
You sure can, and you probably should.
Or I could spread them out into whatever I want, right?
Absolutely.
Now, the most important question is, who's in charge of the Facebook Live feed?
Not Corey Boddicker.
Right? So no? So he got voted out?
He got voted out.
So who's...
we are now going through Mitch Collins at DMI, which is his in-studio,
right.
Which it will be not Corey's baby.
She would like to underscore that Corey is not going to be involved in the live stream.
Corey is actually the champion of the team, though, so he does all of the behind scenes work in terms of
just not the live
stream. Not the live streaming.
It's so he's not going to be working. Okay, we got. I thought it went okay last time.
It's fine.
25 minutes.
We love Corey. We love Corey.
Corey's been fired live on the air. Is he aware of this? Is he just finding this out now?
Look at Jake laughing in here.
Jake loves it.
You're fired!
He's playing the Vince McMahon,
but
you're
I don't
fired.
Even really work here. Right.
Exactly Corey's right. actually watching my kids right now, so we love Corey.
That's right.
He was watching your kids.
Right.
Yeah, keep him on Facebook Live. All right, we'll take a break. More after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and, of course, 38 The Spot. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up, we have Mike Boddicker in studio. We'll talk to Gary Lezak about the forecast. Gary Barnett will talk college football with us. Then Mike DePasquale will give us the picks because Mike's got this. Nick Leckie will talk football. Kim Palmer will talk American Royal. We'll have all that and more coming up between now and 10 o'clock right here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.